Morning.
Good morning.
The Hebrew or Old Testament reading today is from Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Everything has its time. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Christian scripture, or New Testament, is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen.
Amen. Last week, I told you that I love St. Peter jokes. So here's another one for you. On this, our, I think it's our third week of our stewardship campaign. There was a rich man, also sounds like a biblical story, who was quite depressed over the prospect of not being able to take his riches with him when he died. And when he expressed his concern to his minister, they prayed about the problem and were given the solution. Before he died, the wealthy man went to his bank and he loaded up his suitcase with gold bars from the vault. And when he appeared at the pearly gates, he had the suitcase in hand. St. Peter asked, "What do you have in the suitcase?" Very proudly, the man opened up his case to display his booty. And St. Peter said, "You brought pavement?"
Oh.
Friends, it's clear to me that the man in our story, you know, he didn't leave a legacy on earth. And, of course, according to St. Peter, he also did not leave a legacy in heaven, only bringing pavement. The book of Ecclesiastes, which Bill read rather wisely, I think. The book of Ecclesiastes says that there is a season for every activity under heaven. And I believe that now is the season for Center Congregational Church to leave a legacy. We have now to do it. And to be honest, I'm not quite sure how long the season to leave a legacy will last. Now is the time. In Greek, there is a unique word that means a God-given window of opportunity. And that word is kairos. Kairos is a time. It is a season that must be taken advantage of. There's an imperative. Carpe diem. Seize the day is the mantra in Latin. But both signify that there is a unique time to act, a unique season in which to ensure that our lives matter. I believe at Center Congregational Church that we are in a kairos moment, a season to be born anew, a season to plant, a season to heal, a season to build, a season to dance, a season to gather, to embrace, and a season to mend. And I pray that all of you will join with me this afternoon at 1:30 to declare that our church is in a season to speak. A season to love, and a season to pray for peace with our Jewish brothers and sisters who are mourning the anti-Semitic attack on their synagogue in Pittsburgh. Let me ask you, who here has as a goal to leave a legacy? Anyone? All of us, I think, to some degree, want to leave a legacy. Something that is inspired by God that lasts far longer than our physical bodies. I believe I have left 4 small legacies thus far. One, the restoration, the renovation, and the expansion of a church founded in 1848 in South Africa, the Groutville Congregational Church, which the president of the country opened in 2004 when I was there. And I pray this church will be there in 100 years from now, in part due to my and others' efforts. 2, I wrote the first substantive biography of Albert Luthuli. Albert Luthuli is my faith hero. And this book, oh, which by the way, I've bought you many copies of that I have not sold. So this book is also rendering me in great debt. Anyway, that was just a little advertisement. But it's my prayer that if this book is read by even one person 100 years from now, it will keep this man's memory alive, and it will serve as an inspiration to other Christians. But perhaps my greatest legacies will be my children, who I am so proud of I could burst. I and my former wife have done everything in our power to heavily invest in our children so that they may live to their fullest God-given potential. Our goal is to give them opportunities that we never had. Our investment in our children will actually benefit our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, even our great-great-grandchildren, though we will likely never meet them or know them. These are my four small legacies. And the thing about legacies is this. One, they must be created intentionally. And two, they don't come cheap. Legacies are built on investments. So, here we are in the middle of our stewardship campaign. And I ask, what legacy are you and I going to leave for our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren at this church? Will our church still be a church in 100 years? That's a relevant question. Will it be relevant to the needs of our community? Will the gospel of Jesus Christ still be proclaimed from this pulpit and by the ministries this church offers on a daily basis? What will our legacy be? This Sunday, I would like us to consider giving beyond our tithe. A tithe, in many ways, as Joanne rightly said, enables an ongoing work, the work of God, to be accomplished. Yet I'm not sure that it builds a legacy, per se, something that speaks to and invests in the values we proclaim beyond our death. In other words, are we able to give beyond our own self-interest and give selflessly to future generations? This week, I would like us to consider leaving a legacy for this church. Something that will last for decades and will have an impact, either direct or indirect, for a century or more. I would like each of us, for example, to put the church in our last will and testaments. I have, since I have moved here, a new dentist. I've got a new awesome optometrist. Thanks to Bob Pooh, I have a new attorney. It's not him, but he recommended someone to me. And I am currently working on my last will and testimony. And I am going to put Center Congregational Church in that document that says where my assets and where my estate is to be bequeathed. And I would like each one of us to consider doing the same. And you have something in your service program which gives you some information on how to do that. I would like all of us to also consider visiting, if we have one, our financial planner, and ask that a percentage of our investment portfolio be withdrawn and invested in a specific donation a designated offering that will substantively enhance the effectiveness of the ministry of this church. One person, I think, can equip and decorate our library, thus making it an inspiring place for our leadership, the council, to plan the effectiveness of our ministry here. One person can equip and decorate the Riverside Room, thus making it an inspiring place for men and women who attend AA. One person can equip and decorate the Sunday School Room, thus making it an inspiring place for our children and our youth. I would like to invest, and I think I can say this because she's not here, I would like this church to invest thousands in Logan's new child. Now, before that child can speak or walk, so that that family will know, and that family will feel that this faith community is welcoming and nurturing to their children. And I feel that my message, even to you this morning, would be more effective if I could broadcast images and music and scripture through a mounted projector onto a retractable screen. I would like to enable the chapel to be a chapel again, and maybe even be a theater by which we could show documentaries concerning issues about justice, Christian history, the environment, and our faith to our own members and to the broader community on a regular basis. One person and an investment could help us fulfill our promise to pay for our steeple refurbishment. With one person and one investment, we could buy a tent under which we could host outdoor events like the vigil this afternoon. With one person and one investment, we can improve all of the signage in our church and design portable banners that we can carry during events in our community, and so that we can proclaim that for which we stand, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that each one of us and all of us can leave a legacy for this church that will enable this church to continue to minister to our descendants. On the front, take a look at the front of your service bulletin. It states that our church was founded in what year?
1860.
In 2018, I am a beneficiary of that legacy planted in 1860, because this is where I am inspired. This is where I find hope in the world. This is where I keep my cynicism at bay. This is where Republican and Democrat are not ripping each other apart. It's in this sanctuary. This is the place where those who I pray are most marginalized are asked to come, to be welcomed, to be accepted, to be protected, and to be loved. Our reading from 2 Corinthians quotes Psalm 112. Quote, "He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness," or her righteousness, "lives forever." The planting of seeds for a legacy is the means by which righteousness can live forever. And Paul thanks the congregation in Corinth for their generosity, for supporting the Macedonians, the others, who gather with other faith communities around the outskirts of the then Roman Empire and spread the gospel to the ends of the then known world in under 200 years. Sure, that is legacy. And we can trace that legacy even farther back than Paul and to the church in Corinth. We can trace that legacy back to that of Jesus Christ, whose ultimate legacy we celebrate at this table. If we are the inheritors of this legacy, how can we not put promise today to ensure that whether we are living or after we die, we call ourselves as contributors to Christ's work and will in the world. So as we pray the Lord's Prayer this morning, let us ensure that your will be done, so that God's will can be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Friends in Christ, this was the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded. Amen. Amen.